The two encounters relayed here in the 15th chapter of Matthew highlight the complexities of the one that we call Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. First, an encounter with a group of Pharisees and scribes. For Jesus, a teachable moment about what is in the heart and the true nature and character of religion and faith. And then an encounter with a Canaanite woman, a teachable moment about mercy overcoming human constructs. Two important and not wholly unrelated lessons, and the same teacher of both. But two very different pictures of Jesus. The first, a much easier pill to swallow, even when personal conviction sets in. But the second, not the pretty picture of the Savior we like to hang on the walls or on our living rooms and Sunday school classrooms. It's clearly a closer examination is required here. So we will begin in verse 10. I'm reminded of the classic children's storybook character Winnie the Pooh, creation of author A.A. Milne. In one of Pooh's adventures, he is found attempting to trap and capture an elephant, or heffalump, as he calls it. His scheme involves digging a hole in which to catch the heffalump and baiting it with his favorite food, honey. The trouble is that Pooh loves honey too much and can't stand the thought of leaving an entire jar of perfectly good honey to attract his prey. And so he proceeds to eat the honey, rationalizing that he must first determine that the jar does indeed contain honey all the way to the bottom. You see, it just wouldn't do to have anything else at the bottom. For his trap to work, it must be honey through and through. Of course, in his attempt to be certain that the jar contains honey and nothing but honey from top to bottom, he eventually consumes the entire jar. You see, for Pooh, it was of the utmost importance, foolish as it may have been, to ensure that what the jar appeared on the surface to contain was in fact what it did contain throughout. For if it only had honey at the top but something else entirely underneath, well, Pooh needed to know that. This silly lesson learned the hard way, or not so hard way, depending on your perspective and priorities, by a bear from a children's book is what lies at the heart of Jesus' teaching in the first 10 verses of our gospel lesson for today. What matters most is what's on the inside. The Pharisees and scribes had come once again to question and to test Jesus and his disciples. This time their appeal was to laws concerning purity and ritual cleanliness, laws handed down from God to the people of Israel. "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" they asked. "For they do not wash their hands before they eat." Jesus' reply comes as no surprise to those of us who have read and studied the Gospels. Once again, he points out the hypocrisy of the religious elite, and he calls them to task. "Listen and understand," he says. "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Later, explaining further, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles." A simple and familiar lesson, but one that bears repeating time and time again. For if we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that we all have Pharisaic tendencies. Christianity, like her sister Judaism, is not primarily a set of strict moral guidelines or religious rituals set forth to determine who is good enough and who is not, who is in and who is out. Though sadly, in too many places these days, that is the general perception. Rather, faith is and was always intended to be about relationship and about the orientation of the heart. In other words, even when God handed down the law to the people of Israel, it was not mere assent to a strict code that God desired. No, God had always desired above all else to capture the heart of God's people. The law was always meant as a means to an end, and not the end in and of itself. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. There are those who, by ignorance or choice, would have the Christian faith be defined by a list of things to do or say or be that prove that you are in or that you are out, that you are either one of us or you are one of them, replacing the old laws with new ones in league with or defined over and against society and culture. But let us be clear. You are not a Christian simply because you can check items off of a checklist. Worship on Sunday, check. Christmas Eve, check. Easter, check. A pledge, check. Mission trip, check. Good moral character, check. Listen and understand, Jesus said, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Defiles as well as defines. It is not simply what is on the outside that counts. The orientation of the heart is what matters most to our Lord. So let us always be on our guard against all internal or external who would have our faith be more about following the rules than about what is in our hearts, or at the bottom of the pot of honey, for that matter. And to think that was the easy portion of the text for today. Now the 8 verses of our gospel lesson for today that are not as easy to dissect or digest. Jesus has journeyed at this point into the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is the land of Canaan. It is the land of Gentiles. This is his first foray out of the nation of Israel in his ministry. And as he travels, he encounters a Canaanite woman. She is desperate and has heard that Jesus could help. "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon," she cries. It's remarkable, really, a Canaanite woman recognizing the lordship and messianic nature of this Jesus of Nazareth, an itinerant rabbi. And Jesus' response to her plea? At first, silence. He ignores her. The disciples urge him to send her away, annoyed, loathing her mere presence in their midst, because she is unclean. She's one of them. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus finally breaks his silence. But is that true? Can it be that Jesus' mission was so narrow-minded? "Lord, help me," the woman pleads simply. And remarkably, Jesus seems to have no compassion at all. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," he says to her. We can imagine his words cut deep. Did Jesus just say that? "Yes, Lord," the woman acquiesces, but still persists. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And finally, Jesus relents and even commends. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Though the final response and outcome might gel with our picture of Jesus, almost certainly the interaction previous does not. First, the ignoring silence, and then this very limited mission, and then the dig about dogs eating the children's food. Is this the Jesus that we know? And what is the lesson here? That Jesus harbored the same racist tendencies as his closest friends? Or that persistence is all that is needed to get that for which we seek or for which we pray? Or that God's mercy can break down the barriers and human constructs that divide us? Perhaps, and perhaps, and perhaps. But I'm afraid it's not that simple. And I believe that we need to be careful not to rush to conclusions here. The lessons learned from Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman are not as easy to define as those learned from his words earlier to the Pharisees. For here we encounter a Jesus with whom, if we are honest, we're not entirely comfortable. This is not the Jesus that we prefer to encounter. And so where does that leave us? It leaves us, quite frankly, with a Jesus with whom we are not entirely comfortable. With an unpredictable Jesus. A Jesus who one minute is putting the hypocrites in their place and the next is insinuating racial slurs. It also leaves us, perhaps most importantly, with the feeling that we don't get to determine who Jesus is. We don't get to control what he says or what he does. And maybe we get that feeling because, well, we don't. You see, we would feel better if we could take this encounter with the Canaanite woman and reduce it, make it easier to wrap up and to take home with us, if we could take away some pithy lesson and leave the rest, those parts that we don't understand, the parts that just don't feel right. Or if we could easily explain away why Jesus acted the way he did and said what he did. Maybe he was just tired, or maybe he was trying to prove a point we don't get, or perhaps this encounter is meant to highlight Jesus' humanity. Yes, it would feel better if we could take some and leave the rest or rationalize away the parts that don't sit right, but would it be better? So at the end of the day, is all of this about faith being more than what we say we believe? Yes, of course it is. Is it about Christianity being more than simply a set of rules used to define who is in and who is out? Of course. Is it about breaking down the walls that divide in the name of mercy and compassion? Yes, it is. Is it about being persistent in our prayers? Yes, it is. Is it about all of these lessons and more? It is. But first and foremost, it is about Jesus. It's about that person, Jesus, the Savior, the Word made flesh, the Jesus with whom we can easily side when he says, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. But it's also the Jesus we can hardly believe would say, it is not fair to take the children's food and feed it to the dogs. That's the same Jesus. First speaking out against religion based solely on strict assent to a code, and then comparing a desperate mother to a dog. It's the same Jesus. One manifestation we can rally behind, another with whom, if we are honest, we would rather not associate. And here we sit with a choice to make. And as I see it, we have three options. One, we can glean the important life and faith lessons found in these verses, and we can forget about the rest that seems difficult to reconcile. Push it off to another day, perhaps. Second, we can try to explain away the parts that we don't like, the silence and ignoring, the seemingly narrow-minded mission, and that jab about dogs. And either of those first two options would make us feel better, at least. Maybe we could sleep better, and it would make it easier to walk through those doors each week. But there is a third option. We can simply let Jesus be Jesus. When we like it, and when we don't. And see where that leads us. In other words, we can take the important lessons and we can apply them, but we can focus more on the teacher. Resist the urge to rationalize and instead take in the complexities of God incarnate. Now, I have no idea where that will lead. I really have no clue. But I do trust for me and for you that faithfulness and a deeper relationship with the Lord, with our Lord and Savior will follow. And maybe, just maybe, that is sufficient. Take the important lessons and leave the rest. Rationalize the actions and the words and make it feel better. Or let it all be what it is. and meet Jesus where he is. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.